On the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis, five lines up from the bottom, we're trying to find a source for the halacha that there, in fact, was a takanas ksuba on behalf of an arusa. If she became nisalma, nisgarsha, she has rights to a ksuba, even though there was no nisuin. So the Gemara suggests the following. Ilema, if we're going to say Mehad Isnan, the source for Takonis Ksuba for Narusa is a Mishnah in Ksubas Nundalanam in Beis. There it says, Ishish and Isarmel on his Garsha, Beimin Erisin, Uveimin and Asuin, Gova Es Hakol. Quite clearly, explicitly, the Mishnah states that a woman after Erisin already, if she becomes an Almana Grusha, can collect her Ksuba. Meaning that there was a takanas ksuba on behalf of Narusa. And when it says goves hakol, the implication is that if the Baal accepted upon himself what's called tosefes ksuba, he volunteers to commit himself to pay above and beyond the mana messiah which the Chachamim established, that's also included in his ischaivus as far as an arusa is concerned. In any event, it's clear from this brisa that ksuba doesn't have to wait till erisin, till nisuin. Even after erisin, she gets a ksuba. So the Gemara says that's not a valid source. Why Dilma, perhaps, when this Mishnah says that goves hakol, hecha, the kosavla, this is the case where he, the Baal, accepted upon himself to write the ksuba and give her the ksuba at the point of erisin before the point of nisuin. There was never a takanas chachamim to obligate and to give rights to the isha for ksuba, this arusa. But if he me'atzmo, he accepts it upon himself, then and only then does the Mishnah establish that she collects Haksuva. The Gemara in a minute is going to ask, well, so what's the Kamashma, what's the Chiddush here? If he accepted himself this Chiyuv, then obviously he has to live up to his commitment. I just want to point out here that although we're going to have this Sugya looking and searching for a source for Ksuv Min HaErisin, at the end of the day, keep in mind, the Gemara doesn't really come to any conclusion and establish any source that's reliable for Ksuv Min HaErisin. And therefore, the poskim come to the conclusion that there's no hochacha one way or the other. Does she have a ksuba? Does she not have a ksuba? The Rashba's opinion here in Chidushim, Divra Maskav Almana, is that lahalacha we paskin that she does have a ksuba. Tosas Divra Maskav Min on the bottom here of Yud Zayin Beis also comes to the same conclusion that an almana does collect. An almana min ha'erisin does, in fact, have rights to collect a ksuba. The Rambam seems to imply not. In any event, the Gemara says the following, v'chi tema my lemeimer, getting back to our new interpretation of the Mishnah, that we're talking about a self-accepted voluntary chiyuv on the part of the Baal to pay a ksuba for erisin, then what does the Mishnah have to tell me that he's chayv to pay the ksuba? That's a binding commitment, and he gave her a shtar to that effect. And the answer is Lafuki mid Reb Elazar ben Azariah. The Mishnah wants to exclude the sheet of Reb Elazar ben Azariah. The Lo, the Omer, he's of the opinion the Lo Kos Shelo Kosav La Ela Almanas Lekonsa, that when he accepted upon himself to pay the ksuba, he accepted upon himself a kind of conditional kabbalah, and that is that she will enter into chupa. And she will agree, and he will take her into the chuppah. However, there's no gvia of tosefes min ha'erisin if he never actually took her into the chuppah. In other words, the havamina here was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion. Let's analyze Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He's saying that there are two parts to the ksuba. There's the basic part of mana masayim. Mana first marriage, Masayim first marriage, Mana second marriage. But above and beyond that, there's something called Tosefes Ksuba. Tosefes Ksuba is something that the Baal takes on for Chiba because of the Chiba, the Chain. And therefore, Elazar ben Azariah says that in a case where he accepted upon himself Ksuba for an Arusa, he still is lacking the chen, or the chiba, if we will, of nisuin. And it's chupa that creates, that engenders chiba. So therefore, even if he took upon himself a self-accepted hischaivus, a commitment to pay ksuba and tosefes ksuba, there's a fundamental difference between the two. His acceptance to pay ksuba, manamasayim, that's unconditional. But his acceptance upon himself, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, of tosefes ksuba, that's conditional. And that's depend upon nisuin. Again, you might ask, well, why did he have to write the Tosefes Ksuba here if it's for an Arusa? After all, she would collect this Tosefes Ksuba after Nisuin, and that which he wrote in the Shtar Ksuba, that he's willing to give a Tosefes Ksuba even though she's an Arusa, that's not so, because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Talmanas Lekonsa, and since there was never a Knisa L'chupa, therefore he's not Chayiv this Tosefes. But the answer is that apparently he's not going to write a second ksuba. So whatever he's chayev to pay has to be written in this ksuba. And the Mana Messiah that he's writing in this ksuba, even though she's an Arusa, that's a self-accepted hischayvus. And that, of course, will continue after Nisuin if there's Knisa L'chupa. But that which he wrote in the ksuba that he's mischayev for Tosefes ksuba, on the level of the permanence of this ksuba, means the long-term life, you know, life expectancy of the ksuba, that the ksuba will be in her possession even after Nisuin, that's why he wrote the Tosefes ksuba, meaning that there's not going to be a second ksuba. So all is the entire purview of his scope of his chiyuvim have to be written, all the chiyuvim have to be written in the ksuba. Deker Nami, the Gemara says, I'll show you a meticulous reading of the Mishnah that indicates that we're talking about a person who accepted upon himself a ksuba for an arusa. The Katani, it says, Gova es hakol. Why is there an emphasis here on es hakol? Iyamit bishlema de kosavla. If you're going to tell me that he accepted upon himself to write this ksuba and be mischai for this ksuba, haine de katoni, gove es hakol, and that's coming, lafuke, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, to tell us that she collects not only the mona messiahim, the basic ksuba, but also the tosefes ksuba. And that's why the Mishnah emphasizes Gova es hakol, meaning even Tosefes Ksuba, lafuke, as we said. El Iyamr Delo Kosovo, if we're talking about the Takonis Chachamim, and it's Mitnaya Ksuba, then, and here we're turning to Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, my Gova es hakol, why did the Mishnah have to add the word hakol? Mana Messiahimu de Isla. Within the context of this Takonis Chachamim, she only has rights to collect Mana Messiahim. There's no reason to say Gove es hakol, as if to say that by virtue of this Tosefes, this Takonis Chachamim for an Arusa, she can collect above and beyond Mana Messiahim. That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, Rabosai, it makes more sense to assume that this mission is talking about a case of a self-imposed, self-accepted Kabbalas Ksuba, even though there was no Takonis Chacham in the case of Narusa, and he accepted upon himself even a Tosefes Ksuba, and that's binding. And not the way Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say it's only binding conditionally after, if and when he takes her into the chuppah, but even if he would divorce her before the chuppah, nevertheless he would still have to pay Tosefes Ksuba as well. His Govas Hakol means there's an absolute unconditional eschaivus on his part, as a self-accepted one, in the case of an Arusa, to pay Tosefes as well. Now the Gemara is going to bring an additional proof that there's a Chiv Ksuba in the case of an Arusa. And in order to introduce the Braisa that the Gemara is going to quote now, let me just give a couple of background information. When a woman dies, a married woman, then the Baal is number one in a state of aninus, which is the beginning of avelus. Number two, as a result of the fact that his wife died, he has a chiv to be metami himself, even if he's a kohen, and that's for the mitzvah of burial. And the pasuk says, "Vayuka chafalf l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav, but ki im l'she'eru akor of elov," etc., etc. A kohen is enjoined from being metame and coming in contact with a corpse, but the exception is, number one, she'eru akor of elov, which the Gemara establishes in Yevamos Chav Beis, she'eru akor of elov l'lamed al ishto anesu'alo. We're talking about a man's wife. And number three, Yerusha, the Baal inherits his wife. And that's derived at the end of Baba Basra from the Pasuk in Parshas Matos. It says there, V'yim ein achim li'aviv unisatim es nachlosu l'sheiro ha'korov elov mishpacht v'yosh osa, that the husband is Yoresh Ishto. This I say by way of introduction to the Braisa of Rav Chiya Bar Ami. V'ela midetani Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami has a braisa that says Ishto Arusa, as opposed to all the dinim that we said before, after the death of one's wife, if she's an Asua. Now we talk about the case of the death of his wife who's an Arusa. There was never, you know, they used to wait 12 months between Eris and Nesu. There was never Nesu and Knisa L'chupa. Is lo onen, meaning the laws of Avelus do not apply when he lost his wife who's an Arusa. She's not considered Ishto. Again, she's an Eishes Ish, but not Ishto in the sense of the full marriage and the full Ishes relationship between a Baal and his wife. She's still the base of Via. V'lo metamila, if he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to go to her funeral and be metamiha. V'chein, he, and so too she, the Arusa, if her husband dies, lo onenes, she doesn't have to be misabelis, she doesn't have avelus for her husband because she's only an arusa. Velo metamilo, which literally means that she, if she's a bas kohen, a kohenes, what we call, she's not allowed to be metami herself for her husband, this arusa, after he dies and bury him. But truth be told, that this is a very problematic statement if you take it literally. What do you mean, lo metami la? There's no isur tumah on a kohenes. But the Bryce must be saying, and that's what Rashi points out here, that eina zkuka li tamilo, that she doesn't have a responsibility, an obligation to be metami herself, even though she does have, in general, there is on both man and woman a responsibility to misasek with the kvura of the krovim. But and again, in the case of a husband, even though he's a kohen, he's metami to his wife when she dies, lo yitama, and that means he's obligated, he's responsible to be metami himself. My Rebbe used to say that the kiyum avelus lechvod shemes is the chilul kedushas kohuna, that itself is the kiyum. In any event, Rashi clearly indicates that the reason why the Braisa says that, you take a look, it's about seven lines down from the top, Ela Einos Kuka Litamilo. She's not responsible or obligated to be Mitamiha on behalf of the Kvura of her husband. So the mitzvah of Kvuras HaMes applies in the case of a death, Rachmana L'san, of one of one's share, bus one of one's blood relatives, and Ishto, but that's only if she's a Nesua. Then the Braisa goes on, Rav Chiya's Braisa, and says, Mesa, if the Arusa dies, Eino Yarsha, fine, because Yerusha is only after she's Ishto. Right, and that's only after Nisuin. And Mace Hu, and this is the punchline as far as our sugi is concerned, the relevancy to our sugi, if he, the Aris, dies, Gova Ksubasa, she can collect Aksuva. It's clear from this Braisa that the Chachamim did establish a Takonis Ksuva even for an Arusa, Mikra Din. Now again, we're going to have to ask the old question. When we talk about Ksubas Arusa, is that a self-accepted obligation? Or is it automatic and unconditional, and it was established by the Chachamim? So the Gemara says, Dilma de Kasavla, if you'll tell me again the same answer, that maybe this Bryce is talking about a case where he accepted upon himself a Chiyuv Ksuba for his wife who's an Arusa, even though the Chachamim did not make that Takana. V'chi Tema, the Kasavla, and you'll go a step further and say that not only did he accept upon himself an obligation, a commitment to pay the ksuba, but that he also wrote it down, meaning it was included in the shtar, is Maila Memra. So you'll ask me, so again, what's the chiddush of the braisa to tell me that the husband who was mischayev to pay his wife's ksuba, even though she's only an arusa, has to do so? And the answer is that eino chinami, that part of the braisa is not a chiddush. The braisa wants to say mesa eino yorsha. It's strictly, that's the part of the braisa that the braisa wants to say. The tana of the braisa only continues with the din ksuba in a case where he dies first, only to continue the, so to speak, the symmetry of the braisa. But the real thrust of the chiddush here is that eino yorsha, which means that even if he accepted upon himself to be mischayev ksuba, that doesn't give him new rights that the Torah didn't grant him. It gives him new obligations, voluntarily accepted commitments and obligations, but to say that now he has rights that the Torah doesn't recognize, for example, the Torah doesn't give him rights lareshes to inherit the properties of his wife if she is only an arusa, That's what the braisa wants to tell you. Mesa eino yorsha, and that's the thrust of the braisa. So it comes out once again, let's just summarize. There is no proof as to whether or not Chachamim established the ksuba. All we have is a self-imposed ksuba, a eschaivus. Now, this is going to prove something that's relevant to the sugya that we did yesterday, the sugya of Abaye on Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. Abaye there on Yud Zayin Amid Beis established the following distinction. There's Makom Shekosvin Ksuba, and there's Makom She'ein Kosvin Ksuba. Two different traditions in two different localities. And Abaye makes the following distinction, that if we're talking about a Makom Shekosvin Ksuba, then the ksuba biyada isha precludes the possibility of the baal tining parati. She has the ksuba in her hand. But if the ksuba is not in her hand, then the baal is believed to say parati, even though, says Abai, it's a maisa bezdin. However, that's as far as a makom shekosvin ksuba. Makom she'ein kosvin ksuba, obviously, you can't ask the question, well, why don't you hold on to the ksuba? That we could ask in the case of Mokum Shein Kosvin Ksuba. And that's why if she doesn't have the ksuba in a Mokum Shein Kosvin Ksuba, the Baal is going to say, well, where's your ksuba to prove that I, to counter my argument, my claim of parati. But if it's a Mokum Shein Kosvin Ksuba, the absence of the ksuba in her hand doesn't mean anything. What she does have, however, is a get. And if she has a get, then the Baal is not believed to say parati. The get, in a sense, substitutes for a ksuba in our hands, and that's called samchina natnai bezdin, that every single marriage has a built-in ischaivus for a ksuba, and the get proves that she was divorced, and therefore she has rights to the ksuba. That was Abaye's original position. And that, in effect, says Abaye, going to disprove the thesis of Rabbi Yochanan that as far as ksuba in general is concerned, she doesn't have to have the ksuba in order to be believed that she's being tovas ksubasa and he is not believed to say parat because it's a maisa bezdin, says Abaye in his original formulation. That's not a proof. The Mishnah is talking about a case of Makom She'ein Kosvin Ksuba. And the reason why she's believed against his taina to say parati is because she's holding on to the get. And the get is a substitute for the ksuba. In a place that eino chinami kosvin ksuba, the answer to the question is, where's your ksuba? And the answer is, the reason why she doesn't have the ksuba is because the Baal paid up the ksuba and he insisted on destroying the ksuba. But now Abaye is going to rescind that argument. And he's going to say that El Abaye migufa de masnisa kahadar bey. Abaye says that this distinction between Makom Shekosvin, Makom She'ein Kosvin in the Mishnah is totally irrelevant. The Isal Kedaitach, says Abaye, that the Mishnah is talking about a case of what? Of Makom She'ein Kosvin Ksuba askinon. And the reason why the Baal cannot be is not believed to say parati is because aim tonim achar ma'isa bezdin, because of the power of a ma'isa bezdin. I'm sorry, it's not the way Rabbi Yochanan said it. Again, let's review. Rabbi Yochanan's logic was that the reason why the Baal is not believed to say parati is because ein tonim achar ma'isa bezdin. No, it's for a different reason. Because the get hainu ksuba. Right, so this was Abai's original position to reject Rabbi Yochanan's proof from the Mishnah, because maybe the Mishnah is saying the reason why he's not believed the Baal to say parati is because the get itself is a substitute for ksuba, as we discussed, because of a makom shein kosvin ksuba. So the Gemara, so Abai says no, or to get mono masayim ksivbe. Where does it say anything in the get? We read the get very carefully, and there's no mention of any sort of chiv ksuba. Whether it be Masayim or Mona, you know, depending upon whether it's first marriage or second marriage. And therefore, it doesn't make any sense to say that a woman holding on to the get is considered as tantamount to holding on to a ksuba in her hands, and it's proof that the ksuba was never paid up. V'chi teman, if you'll say, kevan de tekinu rabbona lemigbe la, kiman de ksiv be dami. And maybe you're going to say that the get, although it doesn't make any mention, any reference of ksuba, but once the takon of ksuba was made, then it's as if it's written in the get that she can collect her ksuba, that there's a chi of ksuba. Abai says it's still difficult. Why? Because the Baal is going to claim against her tfisas haget, Lema parati, he can say, I paid up the ksuba. Newt, what are you going to tell me? That how could the Baal be believed to say parati? The Isha is holding on to the get. It's like shtar chaviyadcha, my boy, like the Malva is holding on to shtar milva. Ah, says Abai, that's not, you don't say that the Isha holding on to the get is proof that the Baal didn't pay the ksuba. The get itself is not a chacha against the Baal to contradict the Baal's claim of parati. V'chi tema diamrina lei I parati boilach lemikre. So you'll say that his proof is from the fact that, I mean, the proof against him, you know, that he wasn't Perez, because we're going to say to the Baal, if you in fact were Perez, you're claiming, why didn't you take back the get and rip up the get? That doesn't prove a thing. The Omar Lon, the Baal is going to respond, lo shvakten, she didn't allow me to take the get. She needs the get. I gave her the get and she doesn't want to give it back to me to rip it up and destroy it. Omar, she says, be'inil in suve bay, if I want to go to some other place where they don't know that I received the get and I want to get married and I want to prove therefore that I am a divorcee, I need that get desperately to prove my gerushin. Again, let's just take a minute of a pause here to review the trend of the Gemara. You know, sometimes you get into the specifics and you miss the forest for the trees. What Abai is trying to do now is to disprove his own original thesis, which was a thesis that was meant to undermine Rabbi Yochanan's thesis. Rabbi Yochanan assumed that in the Mishnah, the fact that the Baal is not believed to say parati in a case of an almana min an arisin is a proof positive that there is a takanas ksuba. And if there's a takanas ksuba for an arusa, then we have what's called a maisa bezdin, and even if she doesn't have the ksuba in her hands, nevertheless the Baal is not believed against a maisa bezdin to claim parati. And Abai said, no, the Mishnah is talking about a case where the get itself substitutes for the ksuba, and that's why the Baal is not believed to say parati. Meaning, to counter-argue, there never was a takanas ksuba on behalf of an arusa. And the reason why the Baal is not believed to say parati has nothing to do with the din of Maisa Bezdin. Because, again, we're talking about Makom she'ein kosvin ksuba. Why is the Baal not believed to say Parati? Not because of Rabbi Yochanan's logic of Ein Tonem Achar Ma'aseh Bezdin, but rather because the Baal is holding on to the, because the Isha is holding on to the get, and that's proof positive that the Baal wasn't Porea, because if the Baal was in fact Porea, he would have taken back the get. And now Abai is rescinding that whole argument, that whole logic. You're not going to tell me that because it's a Mokum Shein Kosvin Ksuba, because she's holding on to the get, therefore, if so, fact of the Baal is not believed because he should have ripped up the get when he paid the Ksuba. No, that makes no sense, because the Baal could always claim that even though I paid up the Ksuba, I didn't have a possibility of getting back the get from her. She would refuse to budge. She would refuse to loosen her grip on the get, because she needs that get desperately to prove that she was a miscareshes. Lochiach ala gerishin. V'chi tema. And maybe you'll say, well, you know what, that argument of the Baal is not a solid argument, meaning I couldn't get the get back. You'll say, no, you could have gotten the get at least to add something to the get. V'chi tema damrina le, we say to the Baal, yiboylech lemikre u'michtav agabe, you should have at least added to the get, quote, Gita dinan de karaninu, lo mishum de Gita psulu ela ki hechid lo tigbe be zimni achrita. I'm hereby nullifying this get, that's what we'd add to the get, not because the get was invalid, but because I don't want to allow her to recollect the ksuba based on this get. In other words, it would be explicit in the get that he paid up the ksuba. So Abai says that's not a logical reason either, because that argument is full of holes. Atu kol de magbi be dina magbi. Are you telling me that when a woman collects a ksuba, she definitely ipso facto collects a ksuba in front of Bezdin, and therefore Bezdin is going to write on the get that this woman received the payment of a ksuba? The answer is that she may have collected her ksuba outside of Bezdin. So there was no Bezdin there that would have added something to the ksuba. So from the get itself, and the absence of any additional writings to the effect that the ksuba was paid up, that doesn't prove that the ksuba was not paid up. So we got to go back to our question and ask, how could a woman collect her ksuba with the get that she has in her hands in a Mokum Shein Kosvin Ksuba? Why can't the Baal claim Parati? You'll ask the Baal why he doesn't have the get in his hands if he's Parati. The answer is because she wouldn't let go of the get. And if you ask me, why didn't he at least add something to the get to the effect that he paid up the ksuba? That would make sense if the Gvia Saksuba was in front of Bezdin, but it wasn't in front of Bezdin. So why, again, we come back to the old question, why isn't the Baal believed to say Parati? Says Abai, the only possible answer is Rabbi Yochanan, meaning a toin achar maisa Bezdin lomer klum. When a person claims that he paid up after Bezdin has established this takana that he has to pay, he needs proof, he needs a shover, he needs to aid him. And therefore, Abai changed his mind. Abai thought that maybe we could offer an alternative answer to the question as to why the Baal is not believed to say Parati, and it has nothing to do with Ein Tonem Achar Ma'aseh Bezdin as Rabbi Yochanan would have it. It's no proof for Rabbi Yochanan. And the reason why the Baal is not Neman in this alternative of Abai is because why is she holding on to the get? That's why the Baal is not Neman. The Raya comes from the get as a substitute for the ksuba. She's holding on to the get just like she'd hold on to the ksuba. He's not Neman to say Parati. Says Abai, the fact that she's holding on to the get doesn't prove a thing. She needs the get desperately. And therefore, the only reason we could finally justify the Mishnah's premise, the Mishnah's psak, that the Baal is not believed to say Parati, is only if we assume, like Rav Yochanan, that since Ksuba is a Maisa Bezdin, therefore he's not believed to say Parati. And this, Rabosai, leads us to the Mishnah, which again speaks about finding Shtaros, but again we're going to get into a brand new classification of Shtaros. Motza Gitei Noshim V'Shechrurei Avadim. So if we find in the street a get, or we find not a get Isha, but a get Eved, Shichur Eved, Daitike, which is a special shtar that a person writes on his deathbed. He's very close to the end, and he wants to divvy up his property, so he writes a shtar and he gives it over to the Makabel. Or Matana, let's say a person finds a shtar Matana, there's already a healthy person, wrote a shtar Matana. Vishovrin, Shovrin are receipts, something that the Malva writes to the Lova at the time that the Lova pays up the Chov. And that's going to be a proof that, in fact, the Lova did pay up the Chov. So what do we do in all the above cases if we find such a shtar? The Mishnah Paskins, Harei ze lo yachsi. We do not return the shtar, neither to one who wrote the shtar, neither to the one to whom or for whom the shtar was written. And let's go through all these different classifications of shtaros and explain what the thrust of the Mishnah is, why the finder doesn't return the shtar. We'll start with get. That's on the top of our list. The person finds a get. He doesn't give it, he doesn't return it neither to the Baal nor to the Isha. Why not to the Baal? So the answer is that there's a chashash here. If we return this get to the Baal, then when she'll come to claim her ksuba, he's going to claim that I already paid you the ksuba. And the proof is that I have this get. The get in my hands was a result of the fact that I demanded the get from you in return. And that would give me a power, a nemonus, to claim that the ksuba was already paid up. So in other words, there's going to be a swap over here. The Baal is going to give her the get, and she will give back the get. He will use the get now in his hands as a weapon, as a proof, to establish that he already paid up the ksuba. And that's why he was given the get, as a raya that he paid up the ksuba. So therefore, it's not a very smart thing to do, if somebody finds a get, to return it to the Baal, because he's going to use that as a weapon to establish the credit, to give credibility to his claim that he already paid up the ksuba. That's number one. But then the Mishnah says you can't even return the shtar gerushin to the isha. Now again, what's the Baal claiming over here? Let's assume, I don't see why not, that the Baal is claiming lo girashti is ishti. Well, if that be the case, if he's saying he never divorced her, then there's not even a havamina that we can return the get to the isha. The Baal had this get, he commissioned Sofrim to write the get, he's holding on to the get. He's thinking about divorcing her, but at the end he didn't divorce her. And therefore, how can we return the get to her, and she'll use this as a proof in another bezdin that she in fact received the get, and she can marry another man. The Pnei Yoshua explains what the Havamina was. L'chor it's poshut, if the Baal is saying that he didn't divorce his wife, that we don't give her the get. But the Pnei Yoshua says that it was a shtark Havamina to say that we do give her the get, despite the yelling and screaming of the Baal that he didn't divorce his wife. He never gave her this get. It fell out of his hands. Because a Baal would certainly be careful to hold on to his get. He doesn't drop a get. A woman after gerushin is not so careful about holding on to a get, says the Pnei Yoshua, because she doesn't really need the get. As long as she has, you know, within a certain vicinity, a yedi, everybody knows, it's public knowledge that she received a get, she can get married to someone else. Now, alternatively, you could say that a person writes a get just before he's going to give the get. He doesn't write a get in advance. And therefore, it's not logical to say that, and in that very short period of time, the get fell from his hands. Because again, the get is only written close to the gerushin. So you want to say that, no, he never gave this get. That doesn't make much sense. Lo mistavish about osos man mu'ed yipol haget mimenu. His claim is that he dropped the get. Very difficult. He just got the get right before the gerushin. And therefore, the Mishnah wants to be mechadish to us that when the Baal is not mode, but rather he's makrish, he denies the gerushin, then we cannot give him back the get. we cannot give her the get. So as long as the Baal denies that he gave her the get, we cannot give her the get. We're always afraid that the Baal wrote the get, but then after he wrote it, he decided not to give it to her, and he dropped the get. And although this seems like, and as we said, now being a very far out chashash, that the Baal would have dropped the get, but nevertheless, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. We cannot give the get back to, we cannot award the get to the Isha and assume that the Baal gave the get, because maybe in fact he never gave the get and he was a little bit careless about the get, and that's why we found the get. Alright, let's move on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has now a second case, and that is a Shtar Shichur Eved. Now in the case of a Shtar Shichur Eved, if it was that the Adon, the master, admitted that he was already Meshachar the Eved, then in Achinami we could be machzer the Eved liad, machzer the Shtar liad Eved, and let the Shtar serve as an ongoing proof that the Eved was Mishuchrar. So the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat and the Sma and others are Mechadish HaChidosh here, that even if the Adon is Moda, that he was Meshachar as Eved with this Shtar, there's still a problem. Why? What's the issue? What happens is that during the course of the Avdus, as long as the Eved is in that state of Avdus, we have a principle called Mashkana Eved Kana Rabo, and the Adon has, I'll explain what I mean by temporary rights, to sell some of the Nechasim. And this is only temporary because after Shichrur, those Nechasim are designated to go back to the ownership of the Eved. And that's something that the Eved is going to prove in Bezdin, to collect these Nechasim from those who purchased them during the time of the Avdus from the Adon. He's going to use the Get Shichrur as the weapon to collect from the Lekuchos of the Adon. And now the question is, can he collect from Lekuchos based on the date that's written in the Shtar? And now that the Shtar was lost and then found, if we're going to return it to the Eved, he's going to collect from Lekuchos from the time they're written in the Shtar. And the Sma says that that's not enough. The Eved would have to prove, when did he receive that get? It's not enough that he brings a proof that the get was in his hands, because we don't know about the date in the get. He's got to prove the Masai. He has to prove the answer to his question of Masai give a get liyada, so that the get now will justifiably and legally be a valid proof for him to collect from that date, the date that he proves from Lekuchos. And the Shach says something unbelievable here. The Shach says that if the Eved can induce a raya that this get was in his hands before the Nefila, before it fell, then we don't have to be choshesh that maybe it was given at some sort of a later date. In other words, when the Shtar is lost, that is ma'arer, as we said many times, a race on the Shtar. There's no tefisas ba'al Shtar. We begin to suggest that maybe the Shtar is not dated properly. Says the Shach, as long as he can prove the effort that he had the Shtar in his hands, and later on there was an afila, then we're not going to be choshesh that maybe the Shtar was given at some later date, not the date that's written in the Shtar. And this is against the Sma, who says that the Eved has to bring a proof exactly when he received the get. It's not enough for him to say, well, I can prove to you that I got the get into my hands before the Nefila. There still was a Nefila. And if there was a Nefila, that sets up a race on the Zman I get. And therefore he, the Eved, has to prove exactly when the Zman of the get is in order to facilitate his ability to collect from Lekuchas, to be Toref, and confiscate the Karka, which was once his rightfully owned Karka, from the Lekuchas. Now, the next case is a shtar matana, shtar shchiv meira. A matana means to a bari, from a bari, and a shchiv meira means someone on his deathbed. We found such a shtar matana, shtar shchiv meira, is the Mishnah established so we don't give it to the recipient of this gift. Then the Mishnah goes on to say that a shovar, which is normally given as a document from the malva to the lova, when the lova in fact pays up his chov, in this case the shtar shovar, which was found, should not be returned neither to the lova nor to the malva. And the poskim deal with the following question: what is the validity of the shtar itself? Not this shtar, the shtar that was saying shtar shovar, the receipt. That's not going to be given to anyone, so that's out of the picture. But what about the shtar chov itself, the original loan document? Is that valid? And with it, the malva could force the lova to pay up. Here, two of the great poskim on the Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, that's the Chelkas Mechokin and the Beis Shmuel, they both write in a different case, the cases of Ksuba, but again, Ksuba is also Shtar Milva, Shtar Chov. And we found a Shovar on this Shtar Ksuva. What do we do? And they say the following, that we're going to allow the woman, the Isha, to collect her Ksuba. The Ksuba still has its Chezkas Ksuba. And why is that? Because we're left with a suffix. We don't know anything about the Shovar. Maybe the Lova wrote the Shovar. Maybe the Isha wrote the Shovar. I'm sorry, the Malva wrote the Shovar, or the Isha wrote the Shovar, but then decided that no deal. The monies weren't forthcoming, and I'm not going to go through with this Shovar. Then we go back to the Shtar Chov, which has a Chazaka. That's one opinion. The Taz is bothered by the principle of Muchzakus. I'm sorry, not really Muchzakus, but of Suffolk. Suffolk Mammon. We have a principle that if we have Suffolk in Mammon, then we cannot take Mammon out of the possession of a person in a Suffolk. That's what I meant before by Chazak. So let's just think. A person has a Shtar Chov, and now there's a Shovar floating around in the air. We don't know if the Malva actually got paid and wrote the Shovar and gave it over to the Lova. I mean, that's what the Lova is claiming. Or maybe he never wrote the Shovar, or he never went through with the Shovar and he lost it. It fell. Now, what are you going to tell me? According to Chalkas Mechoking and the Beit Shmuel, you're going to tell me, well, that Shovar is out there, but I don't care about the shovar because the shovar still remains a suffix. The edus of the shovar is not reliable. And therefore, let's go back to the ksuva that the Isha is holding, or the Malva is holding on to a shtar chov for the same price, and that has a certain cheskas kashrus to it. Because certainly the Malva is holding on to the shtar milva. And as we said a million and one times, tfisus pal shtar means don't be matil any sfeikas, don't raise any doubts or suspicions about the kashrus of the shtar. And therefore, he's allowed to collect his ksuba because she's allowed to collect the ksuba because he, the baal, is not holding on to his shovar. Comes along Taz, he says, no, the shovar, we don't know, there's a 50% chance that it was in fact written by the Isha to indicate that she did receive payment of the ksuba, or it was written by the malva in the case of Shtar Chov, to indicate that the malva was paid up. We don't know whether the shovar is reliable, but at the end of the day, we're left with a suffix. Therefore, says the Taz, how can we allow the Isha, in this case, to be gover the ksuba, or the malva to be gover his chov, when there's a shovar out there? And that's called suffix momen lukula, hamotzim galu araya. You know, let the Isha prove that she, in fact, was not paid up. Let the Malva prove that he was not paid up. Because we have a real bona fide suffix. When did he paid up? And in my humble opinion, the Taz is a little bit difficult because I wouldn't call this a bona fide suffix. This is what we call eina yodea imparati, meaning if there's a suffix as to whether the chiyuv ever emerged, that's called eina yodea imchischayavti. There's no question the Taz would be right. But our question vis-a-vis a shovar is an eina yodea imparati. The cheskes chiyuv is there. So I don't even know if I need the premise of the underlying principle of the chelkes mechokes bei Shmuel that there's a cheskes ksuba. Ki'ilu, the ksuba has some sort of a magical power to be machshir itself. I would just simply say there's a cheskes chiyuv. I mean, nobody denies that there was a chiyuv. The baal in the case of ksuba, the lov in the case of ilv is claiming I paid up, but he doesn't deny the chov. Now, if the malve could prove that in fact he dropped the shovar, if he could bring Aiden to that fact that they saw the shovar biyado and therefore it was he, the malve, who dropped the shovar, then what do you say? In that case, should we believe the malve and therefore, I'm sorry, should we believe the malve and therefore return the shovar to him? And the shovar therefore becomes null and void, and we assume that the malva maybe was thinking about the shovar. Oh. Now, the love, he's claiming that the shovar fell from the malva, but that's because in truth he paid back the chov, and the shovar was returned to the malva. And why was the shovar returned to the malva? Because, as the Eidim testify, that the malva dropped the shtar, is because he, the lover, didn't pay up the chov. So the malva at that time was holding on to the shovar, waiting for the piron. But says the lover, now I did come through in the clutch, and I paid this chov. And now the shovar went back into my hand, says the lover, in lieu of the payment of the chov, and I dropped the shovar. Well, let's take Rabosa, the case of a ksuba according to the Shitas HaTaz. And we find a shovar that says that she received payment from the Baal for the ksuba. And the Taz paskins that even though the finder is not going to return the shovar to the Baal as proof that he paid up, nevertheless, she cannot collect the ksuba because the shovar is out there. And that creates a suffix, and the Baal is muhsak. Now, in this case, what we're saying is don't return the shovar to the malva. Now, to the Baal. I'm saying to the lova. And the question is here, if the malva, in this case, the isha, cannot in any event collect her chov, even without returning the shah, so what do we lose by turning the shovar over to the Baal? And the answer is that if the shovar is going to be in the hands of the Baal or in the hands of the Lova, then even if the Malva will adduce Edim to testify that he himself dropped the shovar, then the Lova will still be able to claim that the Malva dropped the shtar before the Piron, but subsequently there was a Piron. The bottom line is that according to the Taz, even though, despite the fact that the Malva will not be able to collect his chov from the Lova, the Isha will not be able to collect her ksuba from the Baal, and the reason for that is because the shovar is out there, as we said, nevertheless, we cannot risk returning the shovar to the Baal or to the Lova. And you'll ask, what's the difference? What changes over here? Because in any event, the malva or the isha is not able to collect it. So what do you lose by giving the shtar to the shtar shover to the lova? And the answer is that the shtar shover in the hands of the lova is still a dangerous kind of thing, because let's say the malva is able to prove that he dropped the shtar, that he dropped the shover. Well, the shover is now in the hands of the lova, and the lova is going to be believed based on the tefisas baal shtar on the shover to say that the baal wrote the shovar, dropped the shovar, and then subsequently, when I paid back the chov, he gave me back this shovar, and the shovar is really a proof that Enochinami
I dropped the shofar, meaning there were two tefillahs on the shofar. There was one tefillah before the piron, and that was in the tefillah of the malva. There's a second tefillah after the piron, and that was in the tefillah of the lova. So handing back, returning the shtar into the hands of the lova, could be a very dangerous thing. It could give him a nemanus against the malva, even in a case where the edim testify on behalf of the malva that he dropped the shofar, and that we don't want to do. We want to assume that if the malva can invite and induce two edim to testify they dropped the shofar, that we'll return the shofar to the malva. And then the malva will say, look buddy, I have a shtar chov against you, you don't have a shofar in your hands, and if I can collect this chov. And that's what the din is. Masha enken, if we return the shofar over to the lova, then the lova is going to be able to, you know, conjure up this whole story that even though the malva did have the shofar and did drop the shofar, but nevertheless, subsequently there was a piron. Okay, let's go on now. The next case is the case of Shani Omer. In other words, now the Mishnah wants to summarize in all the above shtaros, why is it that we cannot return the shtar? And the answer is because I'm going to say ksuvim hayu, these shtars were written, and they were written obviously for a serious reason to be given over to the other person, but nimlach aleim shelo litna, the one who wrote the shtar, which is always the mischayev, he stands to lose, he decided no, I'm out, I back out. Now it's interesting, there's a shita of the marshal that if a person decides to be mochel, let's say for example a malva decides in his own heart that he wants to be mochel lechov, and now he changes his mind, he cannot undermine and cancel his original mechila. That mechila is still chai v'kayim. Again, I don't know how we're going to prove it, but let's say the malva admits it. How is the Marashal going to read our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, nimlach aleim shalom litna, meaning the malva wrote this shtar, let's say in the case of a shofar, and he dropped it because he changed his mind. Now, this doesn't make any sense because once he wrote the shtar shofar, then that itself is a mechila. So the Mishnah establishes we cannot return this shofar to the lova as proof in the hands of the lova that he paid up the chov, when in fact maybe he never got that shofar and he never paid up the chov and he has to pay the malva. But why does he have to pay the malva? Because admittedly, the Mishnah is not denying that the malva wrote this shofar and he had in mind to give it to the lova. So that itself is a mechila. You see that the fact that he had it in mind and that he was nivlach, that doesn't generate any sort of dinim. It doesn't patter up the chov of the lova, and this is against the marshal. And in order to defend the marshal, the ktsos offers the following answer. He says that when does the marshal maintain that mechil belev is meaningful? That's belibo ubelev kol adam. That's when we know about the mechila. There's something objective. But here, the malva didn't publicize any sort of mechila. Again, even though he wrote the shofar, that's not a proof that he was mochel lechov. Maybe, you know, he's interested in possibly, you know, at some point down the line being mochel lechov when he decides to go through with it and pass on the shofar over to the lova. But in the meantime, you know, it's not belibo b'kol adam. We cannot classify his mindset as objectively and clearly being one of mechila. The Gemara says the following: Taima dinimlach shlo nitnem. Why is it that we don't return? And we're going back to the beginning of this mission, the case of a get isha. Why don't we return the get to the isha? Because maybe the Baal decided that he doesn't want to divorce his wife, even though he wrote the get. Meaning he had it written. Ha'im Amar Tnu Nosnim. Let's say the Baal right now, that seems to be the implication of the Mishnah, would say, give the get. So a man finds a get. He asks the Baal, what's the story with this get? we have reason to believe the Baal that he never gave the get, although he wrote the get, he changed his mind, he had a change of heart, and he decided not to be Megarish's wife. But if the Baal, apparently, that's the Deacon Emisha, would instruct the finder now to get two Edim and give the get on my behalf to the Isha, that would be valid. No snip. Nafiluzman Meruba, even if a long period of time passed, we're not choshesh that maybe the finder found someone else's get. Maybe this get, although it has the name, and we'll soon see all the name, right names, the names of this Baal and the name of his wife and so on, but we're still afraid that maybe this is not the get that he wrote. Now, this is the way Rashi understands the word tnu. Tnu means achshav, Rashi says. You'll see this in Dibra Maskil Ha'omar, which is towards the last third on the page. Rashi adds the word achshav. However, it would seem that what the Gemara has in mind is that the Baal dropped this get, he hasn't given it to her yet, and now he wants to start a new gerushin. That's why we're going to return the get to the Baal, or alternatively, you don't even have to do that, just cut that out and just deliver the get in front of two Edim on behalf of the Baal to the Isha. But again, we're going to have two Edim to testify that in our presence, the get was delivered to the Isha. And she will be divorced only from the moment that she received that get. And that's going to be supported by a brisa later on, Matzah get Isha b'shuk, b'zman shebal moda yachzeh l'isha. Which means, as Rashi says, Omer sherotza litna la'ata l'garsha. Now Tosis on Amud Beis here, we didn't get to it yet, Yuches Amud Beis, Dira Maschal Afilu says, no, the lashon of the brisa. And again, this brisa is going to be quoted later on about Motzah get Isha, and it says, Bizman Shabal Mode. That implies that the Baal is Mode to her Taina. She's claiming that she already received the get, and the get fell from her. Not the way Rashi interprets it, that he, the Baal, is instructing that now, today, they give her the get. And therefore, according to Tosfos, L'chora, the get should be chal l'mafreya, whereas according to Rashi, the get would only be chal mikan u'lahaba. But even more fundamentally, according to Tosfos, there would be no need to deliver the get a second time. She already received the get, although she dropped the get, we're going to return the get to her if the Baal is mode. And she's already megureshes without the whole 9 yards with all the ritual requirements of Nesina's get, bifnei edim, etc., etc. Rashi, on the other hand, says Tzorach Lachzor V'Litna La'ata B'fnei Edim, and it's a brand new Gerushin. Ureminu, and the Gemara now asks Akasha. The Gemara now is going to prove that if a get is lost, we have to be worried about the possibility that the get that was found was not the get that was written by this husband for this wife, but it was written for a different husband who had the same name and a different wife who had the same name. So just to review, this Brisa in Gittin about a shliach who brings a get and he lost the get, he dropped the get, and then he found it. If he found it immediately, then we can assume that's the get that he dropped. And it's kosher. He could deliver the get to the Isha. But if not, if he found it after a certain period of time, puzzle, and the premise here that underlies this chumrah is that perhaps this is not the get that he lost. And yet, our Mishnah assumes that if he would say to the finder, give this get, deliver the get, the Baal says that, he mandates the finder to deliver the get in front of two Edom, then it's a valid gerush. And why aren't we worried about the possibility that this is not the get that he lost? Now, I just want to correct one thing I said. The Gemara's Kasha Ramini is not from a Brisa in Gittin, but it's from another Mishnah in Gittin. Omar Rabba lo Kasha. Kan b'mokum shashayos mitzuyos. Kan b'mokum she'ein shayors mitzuyos. So if you find the get in a place that's, you know, it's like a cosmopolitan place. It's like a, give a radical example of an airport. You know, the Heathrow Airport in London. You know, there are people coming from all over the world. So then we have to worry about the possibility that somebody else lost this get, and it belongs to a different baal that was written for a different isha. But if it's a mokum she'ein shayoros mitzuyos, some sort of a small town, then the fact that this get has the same names and the mokum of the get that's written in the get is this small town, that itself removes and calms us down about any suspicion, any chashash that maybe this get belongs to someone else. So according to Rabbah, and as we go along in the sugya, the plot grows a little bit thicker. There are other variables that have to take into consideration. But Rabbah, at this point, at least, in the sugya, assumes that it all depends upon one issue, and that's shayoros mitzuyos ain't shayoros mitzuyos. The Gemara says that even though Rabbah made this distinction between shayoros mitzuyos and ain shayoros mitzuyos, nevertheless, yesh l'chalik l'daito od v'lomar. That's how Rashi interprets the Divrei Maskil v'afilu, and he says v'afilu b'mokum shayoros mitzuyos. You don't need definitely. You don't. That's not an absolute condition in order to be machshir the get. I'm saying, in other words, you don't have this absolute psul of the get or chashash of the get if it's mokum shayoros mitzuyos. That doesn't automatically ipso facto, once that tanai is fulfilled, make the get posel or chashash posel. You have to add another condition in order to make it posel or chashash psul. And he says, v'hu shahuchzaku shnei Yosef ben Shimon ba'ir b'ir achas. We have to already know that there's another person in that same city. Again, even though that's a cosmopolitan city, but there's got to be someone else in the city that has the same name. And when we say has the same name, the Gemara gives the example Yosef ben Shimon, but it's got to be Rachel Bas Yankiv as well. You know, it has to have both the shame. We have to know that there's another person by the name of the Baal in the city, another person by the name of the Isha in the city. So when, according to Rabbah, when do we raise this chashash on the get, that maybe this is not the get that was lost? That's number one. It's a makom, which is shayoros mitzuyos. Number two, it's already huchzaku shnei Yosef and Shimon b'ir achas. Now, again, the city that we're talking about here, when we say there's another Yosef and Shimon, is the city that's mentioned in the get. Every get has a makom, and a very specific makom. There are many dinim and gittin that had to write a get to indicate that makom. And it seems that what we're assuming, therefore, is that there's no chashash here that if somebody else elsewhere in the world. Now, it's a strange kind of thing, because the makom I get is not necessarily the local. You know, you can have Yankel from New York, and the get is being given in Chicago. So the makom of the get that's written in the get is Chicago. And what are we saying? That there are two Yosef and Shimons in Chicago, when our Yosef and Shimon that we want to return the get to, the one who's claiming the get, he comes from New York. So this is a little bit strange that, you know, we've guaranteed there's only one Yosef ben Shimon here in Chicago, which is the makom written in the get, and yet we're talking about a place where it's shayoros mitzuyos. There are people coming from all over the world. Any of them might have dropped this get. So are you going to tell me there's no Yosef ben Shimon out there in the veldt? Maybe in this particular city, the makom I get, there's no Yosef ben Shimon besides this one. And this is the kash that's raised by the Nesivis in his Torah's Gittin. And I'll read to you his answer. I'm not sure if I understand it. He says,
Yesh lomar chazaka kan nimtza v'kan hoya. We have a rule in Shas called kan nimtza kan hoya. And that means that tolin onu shekevin shashtar nichta v'mokam nizkav, since the shtar, according to its testimony, was written here in Chicago, af habal v'isha hoyumi oso mokam shebo nichta v'shtar. In other words, we're not going to be choshesh that another person with the same name, another Yosef ben Shimon from some other city, lost the get here in Chicago. We're going to assume that the shtar was written in Chicago, and the owners of this get, the Baal and the Isha that are mentioned in this get, are from Chicago. And if there's no other Yosef ben Shimon here in Chicago, we don't have to worry about a Yosef ben Shimon out there in the veldt. Even though, again, it's a makom sheshayos mitzuyo. So I find this Torah's Gittin a gewaldige chiddush, but on the other hand, I don't have another solution to his problem. You know, he really raises a very fundamental issue here. Now, again, let's keep in mind that this whole sugi evolves based on the diuk that we made in our Mishnah here in Shnai Moksim Vitalis, namely that if the Baal instructs the motzi, the first of finder, to give the get now, then that's valid. That was based on the deed because it says nimlach. And now it could be, and that's what Tosus raises here in Ha, that the reason why the Mishnah mentions nimlach is to tell you that because he changed his mind about the get, he was no longer careful about this get. Now he decides he doesn't want to marry her. And if he decides, excuse me, he doesn't want to divorce her, and if he decides now, with a change of heart, that he wants to divorce her, and he thinks that this get that was found was his get, the Mishnah wants to say, nevertheless, ain't no snit. Because the very fact that he dropped the get, that, as we said over and over again, creates a race in which we open the get to all sorts of possible suspicions, to invalidate the get, to invalidate the shtar, and let's assume that this get may have been lost by someone else who has the same name. So there's no real clear-cut diuk here, claims Tosin as Havamina, to prove that if the Baal would now say tnu, after he changed his mind at one point, did not want to divorce his wife, dropped the get, that now we can give the get and assume it's the same get. And the Shlomer, Tosin answers, and I don't know how to read this, he says, the diek mitalok tani ksuvim hayu velo nitnam. But v'niktani v'nimlach. You know, it should have really said ksuvim hayu velo nasnan. That would have indicated that he, the Baal, he had a change of heart. Ksuvim hayu velo nasnan. And therefore we have this chashash, we can't assume it's the same get that he lost. But the Mishnah adds the word v'nimlach, mashma shechoshe shema ena rotza ato legarsha, which means that now he doesn't want to divorce her. And that's why we cannot give this get to the Isha. But if he says give it to her now, that's the implication of a nimlach, that would be a kosher get. Now, there's another point I wanted to make here. It says here, according to Rabbah, and I assume this Tosefos of Afilu B'Mokum Sheiros Mitzuyos Hushnei Yosef Ben Shim Bir Achas is Rabbah. So we now have, in order to possibly get, we need two conditions to be fulfilled. Number one, it's Sheiros Mitzuyos, and number two, there are two people that we know about who have the same name, and their wives have the same name, and therefore we have to worry who lost his get. Now, it sounds like what the Gemara is saying, and this is all true before the Shev Shmaita came along, that only if and when we know that there is somebody, you know, opened up the telephone directory and saw that there is someone in the city with another person that has the same name, etc., etc. But let's say we don't know. You know, there is no telephone directory. We don't have to be choshesh. That's how we understood it before the Shev Shmaita came along. But if you look at Rashi, Dibur HaMaskil Chayshinon,
you get a different impression. And this is the Rashi on the top of Yudches Amud Beis, when the Gemara is going to talk about the possibility there are two cities with the same name, but that's not for us now. But Rashi there says, V'yodim anu she'en sham b'shiri shnei anoshim she'shemosam shava. Rashi says that we know for a fact that there are no two people in that city with the same name. Says the Shev Shmaitith and Shmaitith Zion, that it's not enough that we don't know one way or the other in order to remove this chashash, and it's only if we do know that there's another person with the same name in the city, but even if we don't know anything, we cannot return this get, or give this get. And reason is because we must know clearly, beyond the shadow of a doubt, with certainty, that in this place there's no one else with that same name. As long as we don't know that as a proof positive, Rashi assumes we have to be choshesh. And that's not the way we learned the sugya, but that's the way Rashi seems to indicate it here on the top of Amud Beis. So again, when it says Huchsuku here, Shnei Yosef and Shimon, and then you cannot return the get or give the get, that means that we don't know. We don't know that it's a double negative. We don't know that there's no one else in the city. And that's called Chayshinon. Shema Huchsuku Shnei Yosef B'Yirachas. Again, the Lashon Huchsuku sounds just the opposite. So in any event, now, again, where are we holding now in this sugya? That Rabba has two conditions that have to be met in order to generate this chashash regarding the kashas of the get. It's got to be both Shayos Mitzuyos, and at the same time, Huchsuku Shnei Yosef and Shema B'Yirachas. Dilo Tema Hachi. And we said before that it doesn't sound like Rabbah himself explicitly added the second condition of Huchsuku Shnei Yosef and Shimon, but rather the Gemara itself added it. And the Gemara is going to tell us now why it was motivated to add this second condition to Apostle the Geth. Because Kasha de Rabbah de Rabbah, we have another statement of Rabbah, and we have to square with that statement. Otherwise we have a stira within Rabbah. And the story was, Dahu Gita Dishtakach Beidina Deravhuna. There was a get that was found in the Bezdin of Ravhuna. And it was brought to Bezdin apparently for Kiyum Achsimas in order to authenticate the signatures on the get. Dahavikosuv Bey, and it said, in that particular get, Bishvire Mosa Dal Rochis Nahara. There's a certain city called Shvire. And the halacha requires that in a get you identify the city if it's on a riverbank, if it borders on a river. And this city called Shvire is located on or adjacent to a river that's called Rochis. Now, after they were Makayim the Shtar, a person who has the same exact name, he and his wife, as those names written in the get, comes into Beis Din, and he claims, I dropped this get. Now, we don't know that there's another person in the city who has the same name, or he and his wife have the same names as this guy who's claiming he dropped a get. And nevertheless, Omar of Huna, even though in Shviru we don't know of anyone else with the same name, nevertheless, and here we're turning to Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, Chayshin El Shnei Shviri. We have to be worried about another city somewhere out there in the wild blue yonder that has the same exact name, Shviri. There's another Shviri out there. And it's very possible that in that other city, Shviri, there's someone else or a couple that have the same identical name. So therefore we can't return the get. The Amale, the story continues. Rav Chizda, who's the Talmud of Rav Huna, says to Rabba, Puk Ayin Ba, you should check out this verdict, this decision and statement of Rav Huna. Why Dili Urta Boy Minach Rav Huna? Because Rav Huna is going to ask you about this. He's going to want to hear from you, Rabba, whether you concur with his vision. Nofak Dok Vi Ashkach. Rabba went out and he studied it, he investigated, and he found the Mishnah. Disnan, this is the Mishnah later on here, Kol Maisa Bezdin HaReze Yachzir. Any shtar that is a kium, a henpek in Bezdin, if it was found in Bezdin, HaReze Yachzir, you could return it to the person for whom that shtar was written. And therefore, in this case of Rav Huna, since Bezdin had indeed been Mekayim the shtar, we don't have to be Choshesh, that maybe he, the Baal in this case, decided, or had a change of heart, decided not to give the get. And therefore, from the fact that this Mishnah on Daf Chaf here in Bav Metzia advocates and certifies the kashrus of this get, and advocates returning the get to the Baal, it's clear that we're not afraid that maybe the get came from another city which has the same name. And this is against Rav Huna. And the Gemara now proves from this Maisva Beidina de Rav Huna Dechi Mokom Shashiyos Mitsuyos Dami. Rav Huna was located in a cosmopolitan city. There were plenty of people coming in and out from other cities. And they came there into his Bezdin for judgment. And nevertheless, Kaposhet Rabba the Yachzir, it was clear to Rabba that we can return this get and be machshirit such that the Baal could deliver the get. We don't assume that maybe this is someone else's get. Alma, we see from here that even in a place where Shayaris Mitsuyos, Rabba adds another condition in order to be Choshesh and possible to get. And when do we say Lo Yachzir? That's only Huchzaku Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon. Then we have this Kshash. And we are inhibited and we don't return the get to its rightful owner. Rightful assumed owner. Ilo. But if we don't have any chazok on Yosef ben Shimon, and that's the case in Rav Huna's Bezdin, is lo. They were not choshesh, that maybe it came from a different city, and there were two people in the city. But we see clearly from this story that Rabba, who said earlier, if you remember, this is what Rabba explicitly said, we added to Rabba, but that it's got to be, in order to be choshesh and be hesitant about the get and returning it and using it, that's got to be Shayaris Mitsuyos. We have to add another condition. Because Rav Huna's case, his get in the Bezdin there was Shayaris Mitsuyos. And yet Rabba was willing to give the get back and be machshir. It must be that in that city, in that place where Rav Huna was located, there's no Huchzaku Shnei Yosef and Shimon Be'ir. So we now have two conditions, clearly. Avad Rabba Uvda, there was a case where a get was found, and Rabba Paskind. What was the case? Let's get more details about the case. Bei Kisna was found in the Beis HaKusna. Kusna has something to do with cotton. We'll see in a minute what that means. De Fumpedisa, in the city of Fumpedisa, Kishmate. Meaning that we can return this get to the Baal and deliver it to the Isha. We're not going to be choshesh for Shnei Yosef ben Shimon because there was no Huchzaku Shnei Yosef ben Shimon in that ear. Now, it could be that case of Bei Kusna is a case of Shayaris Mitsuyos. And we need that condition. So we need two conditions in order to undermine this get and put it in deep freeze. Number one, it's got to be Shayaris Mitsuyos. And number two, it's got to be Huchzaku Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon Be'ir. Those two conditions were not fulfilled in the case of the get that was found in Bei Kusna for Bedisa, and therefore Rabba Paskin that we return the get. Now the Gemara brings two Lashonos. Well, what exactly was this Bei Kisna? And it's going to be an Afkamina La'alocha. Ika di Amri. Some say that where was the get found? Heich de mizavne kisna, in the open market where the cotton sellers come to sell their cotton. Vehu, and therefore, if it's what we call Shayaris Mitsuyos, therefore we have to add another condition in order to justify Rabba's psak that we can return the get. Shelo huchzaku shnei Yosef ben Shimon be'ir. Afagav deshkichei shayara. Even though there are many people coming to buy their, you know, to resupply and purchase their cotton, nevertheless, since there's no Huchzaku Shnei Shemus, we could turn it, because again, we need two conditions. That's according to the first Lashon of the Gemara. V'ikah d'amri, others say, Heicha d'saru kisna, that this Bei Kisna is not where they sold
cotton publicly, right? But rather it was a place where they used to soak their cotton, you know, because cotton has all sorts of elements in it that have to be removed, you know, some cause of filth and so forth and so on. And if that be the case, then this get was found in a place which is Ein Shayaris Mitsuyos, and therefore Afagav de Huxaku, even if there were two people in the Bay Kisna area that have the same names, nevertheless, since Lo Shchichi Shayaros, we can return the get. So either Lashon, either of these two Ikadiyamris, these two Lashonas, seem to maintain the same conclusion that in order to possibly get according to Rabbi, we need the fulfillment of two conditions. It's got to be Shayaros Mitsuyos, and it's got to be Huxaku Shnei Shemos, Shnayim Ben Yosef Ben Yir. If any of those two conditions are lacking, are missing, then we can return the get. That's the opinion of Rabbah. But now the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rav Zera. Rav Zera, in his case, had a kasha from a Mishnah to a Braisa. Now, the Mishnah we've already seen earlier, and the Braisa we haven't seen earlier. Tanan, we learned it in Mishnah. This we've quoted earlier, the Mishnah Git. Now maybe get the Ovid Imenu Mitzoli Alter Koshim Lav Posel. The Shliach brought a get, and now he dropped the get, and it took a while till he relocated the get. And therefore, it's possible because we're afraid that maybe this is not the get of the claimers of the get, of the Baal and the Isha. Maybe there's another person who lost the get who has the same names. Uraminhi, and Rav Zera asks on that Mishnah from a Braisa. Now keep in mind, a Braisa is not always 100% reliable, but nevertheless, it's somewhat reliable, so we're going to ask a kasha from a Braisa onto a Mishnah. The Braisa says, Matzah get Isha b'shuk b'zman shabal modeh yachzir li Isha ena bal modeh lo yachzir lo lezev lo lezeh. If you find a get in the street, and the Baal is Moda, that he already delivered this get, then we can give the get to the Isha. If, however, the Baal denies that he gave the get, then we cannot return the get, neither to the Baal, nor to the Isha. Again, we can't return it to the Isha, because maybe the Baal never delivered it, and she, with that get, will prove that she received the get. That's called Fisus Baal Ashtar. And we can't return it to the Baal. Now, the reason why we cannot return the get to the Baal, I mean, what's to be lost in that case, is because we have to worry about the fact that after we return the get to the Baal, and Edom come and prove that, in fact, they witnessed the giving of the get, the Baal is going to use that get as a weapon in his hand to prove that he was Porea the Ksuba. Again, that's probably true in a place, a Makom She'ein Kosmik Suba, so then the get in the hands of the Isha is going to be proof that she has rights to collect the Suba. Now the Baal is holding on to the get. But in any event, this Braisa says clearly that Tani Mios Shezman Bizman Shabal Moda Yachzor Le'isha. Right? It was only in the second case, the Seifa, where the Baal said, is then we can't return the get to the Isha, because she'll use it as a proof that she received the get from the Baal, and she's Megureshes. But if the Baal is Modeh, then we can return the get to the Isha. And it sounds like Afilu Lizman Meruba, even though the Shliach found the get after a certain willing of time. We're not choshish that perhaps this is the wrong get, and there's somebody else with the same names. And that really contradicts the Mishnah in Gittin, which the Mishnah says that if the Shliach finds the get after a period of time has elapsed, then the get is possible, because we're afraid that the get is not the same get. It was lost by somebody else with the same names. Fine. I just want to point out here, based on a Gemara Bava Basra,
that if the Baal is Moda, that he dropped the get, sorry, that she dropped the get, that he had delivered the get, then l'chora, we don't need the Baal to deliver the get a second time, as Rashi says, because the Gemara Baba Basra says that a Baal is believed to say Girashtis Ishti. And therefore, there doesn't seem to be any problem in returning the get to the Isha if the Baal says indeed that I divorced her, and there's no need to reenact the Gerushin because the Baal is believed to say Girashtis Ishti. So, what are we afraid of here? We're afraid that maybe, according to the Mishnah, maybe this is not the get that was lost. But it doesn't matter. The Baal is claiming Girashtis Ishti. So even if it wasn't with this get, she's Megureshes. What difference it make if she gets this get and she uses it to prove that she's Megureshes? Again, it's a little bit funny because, you know, it's not really this get that proves, that testifies that she was Megureshes, but it doesn't matter. His testimony itself is enough to prove that she's Megureshes, based on this Gemara in Baba Basra, Baal Neman Lomar Gerashtis Ishti. So if you take a look at Tosas, Divya Maskel Vafilu here, towards the bottom of Yud Ches Amid Beis, he wants to claim that if you look in that Sugya in Baba Basra there, you will see, Eina Baal Neman Lomar Gerashtis Ishti Elam Ikanu Lahava. Now, if the Baal says he already divorced her, and he divorced her from the Zman that's written in this get, he doesn't have any nemonus on a time period before that. And therefore, we shouldn't return this get to the Isha. The point that tells us is that the Baal is not never to say that he divorced her, because he's not met Nemolim Afreya. And the, you know, if we return this get to the Isha, then basically you're believing the Baal to say that the Gerushin took place as recorded by the Zman written in the get, which is Lamafreya. So the Baal has no nemonis to claim that he divorced her with this get. Ella what? You can give this get again a second time, but the only problem is, and that's Reb Zera's issue, how could you give this get a second time when we have to worry about the fact that maybe this is not the get that he lost? That's Reb Zera's issue. What did Reb Zera answer to this stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa? Mishani, kan b'mokum sha'shayoros mitzuyos v'kan b'mokum sha'ein shayoros mitzuyos. In the Mishnah in Gittin, we're talking about Shayros Mitzuyos, and therefore we have to be choshesh that maybe it fell from someone else with the same names. But here, in the Braisa, where the Braisa says that once the Baal is Moda, we return the get, and we could use it now for a Gerushin, that's Ein Shayros Mitzuyos. So it seems from Rab Zera, as opposed to Rabba before him, that everything depends upon one condition. If that condition is met, then we have to be choshish that the get is not the same get that was lost, and that's Shayoros Mitzuyos. Ika Diamri, the second Lashon in Rab Zera, is that Rab Zera offered a different reconciliation of the Braisa, the Mishnah of the Braisa, of a who, Shehuchsaku, that when you say that Mokum Shayoros Mitzuyos Ein Machzirin, that's only the case of Huchzaku, and that would reflect the Shita of Rabba, is only when you have two conditions that are met. It's number one, Shayoros Mitzuyos, number two, it's Huchzaku, then Lo Nahadir, then we don't return the get V'hainu de Rabba, and that's identical with Rabba. The Ika Diamri, and a third possibility, in the opinion of Rab Zera, Afagav de Lo Huchzaku, Lo Neheder, that there's a possibility that we won't return the get, even if we don't know for sure that there are two people with the same names. We still cannot return the get if it's Shayoros Mitzuyos. We're always going to be Choshesh for another city, and in that other city there'll be two, another person with the same name, Upliga de Rabba, which means that within the context of these three possible, you know, variations of how to interpret Rab Zera, in the first interpretation, everything depends upon Shayoros Mitzuyos. And Shayoros Mitzuyos itself is going to engender the chash that there are two people with the same name, and we cannot return the get. According to the Kediyami, the middle presentation of Rav Zeira, he's saying exactly, he's identical with Rabbah, and he requires two conditions in order to passel the get. It's got to be Shayos Mitzuyos plus Huchzaku. And according to the third Lashon of Rav Zeira, then we're going to be Choshish for another city, and perhaps in another city with the same name, there is another person with the same name, and that's against Rabbah. The only point I want to make here that I don't understand clearly is in the last Lishna, when Rabbah is interpreted as saying that we're worried about another city, do we also have to add the other condition here in order to paskin lo nahadir, it means to be matil sofik and chashash on the get, if it's also sheyos mitzuyos? Because again, once you're worried about another city, why should Shayoros Mitzuyos be relevant? But then in the original statement of Rav Zeira, he mentioned Makom Shayoros Mitzuyos. So I don't know, that's a little bit unclear. In other words, the middle Lashon also assumed the original language of Rav Zeira, just added another condition. We only possibly get if, in addition to Yashayos Mitzuyos, it's also Huchzaku. And that's what we possibly get, and that's identical with Rabbah. You have to fill two conditions to possibly get. But clearly the Gemara seems to be assuming that we cannot, you know, erase, we cannot undermine the original language of Rav Zeira of Kan B'Makom Shayoros Mitzuyos, that the Mishnah Gittin is talking about Shayoros Mitzuyos, and that's why they invalidate the get. So in the third Lishna of Rabbi Zeira, we're talking about Lo Huchzaku, but we have to add the Chashash of Yeshna Ir Nosefes Yishma Kishem HaIr Aksuva the get. I don't know that we had to add that in the first Lishna of Rav Zeira. So if we compare Lishna number 1 to Lishna number 3, in both cases he argues with Rav Zeira, we don't need the Huchzaku, but it would sound like for two different reasons. In the first Lishna, we don't need Huchzaku because it's Shayoros Mitzuyos, and somebody from Yenevelt is coming with the same name. In the third Lishna, the problem is that there's someone in a different city that has the same name that someone in a city that has the same name as the city that's written in the get. And therefore we're worried about the possibility that in that other city there's someone who lost the get. If that be the case, why is it necessary to say Shayoros Mitzuyos? And we have to be loyal to that to that expression. And maybe the answer is that in the third Lishna, as opposed to the first, Shayoros Mitzuyos doesn't automatically mean that we assume that somebody came in here from outside the city, from far away with the same name. We have to also assume the possibility of another city with the same name. And the reason for that is in the third Lishna, maybe we're saying Kan Nimtza Kan Hoya, if you remember that svara, meaning that if the name of the city is Chicago, then we have to assume that despite Shayoros Mitzuyos, the get was lost by someone here in Chicago. And that's why Rav Zeira in the third Lishna needs, there's another Chicago. In any event, both Rabbah and Rav Zeira raised the stira between the Mishnah in Gittin and the Braisa. Rabbah asked from the Mishnah, and Rav Zeira asked from the Braisa. Bishlema Rabbah, why didn't Rabbi ask the cash from the Brai Salama Karab Akirab Zera? Why? Because Masnisan Alimale Lakshri, we always ask a steer from a Mishnah onto a Mishnah rather than a Brice onto a Mishnah. A Brice is not always reliable. El Rab Zera, my time alone, Karaba, why didn't he ask the cash from our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah strongly implies that if the Baal says give the get now, we can give the get now and assume it's the same get, whereas the Mishnah in Gittin assumes that if the Shliach lost the get and he finds it later on, it's not the same get. That was the Kasha of Rabbah from one Mishnah onto the other. But why didn't Rav Zeira ask that Kasha? Amalacha, Rav Zeira would say, Miktani, it doesn't say explicitly in the Mishnah that as we wanted to daik it, Ha'amar Tnu Nosen Afil Uzman Meruba, that the Baal had changed his mind, but if he would indeed say Tnu, we would deliver the get. And as Rav understood it, therefore not being choshesh, that maybe it's a different get than the one that he had written. Dilma, perhaps you could interpret the mission in a different way. Ha'amar tnu nosnin uli olam kidekayim alon lialter. Square off our Mishnah with the Mishnah in Gittin by saying that just like in the Mishnah in Gittin, if the Shliach found the get immediately after he lost it, you can give the get. You don't have to assume it's a different get. So too in our Mishnah, we're talking about a case where the get was found by the finder, Lialter, very soon after it was lost. That's what our Mishnah is talking about when it says Matzah Gite Nashim is Venimlach Aleim, but if he authorizes us to give the get, then we will give the get because the get was found Lialter, not after Zman Meruba. Therefore, we don't have to raise the issue of maybe it's a different get. So there is no stira between our Mishnah here above Mitzia and the Mishnah in Gittin. That's Reb Zera's argument. The Gemara now raises the question, if we assume, like the two Lashonos in Reb Zera, that there's an argument between Reb Zera and Rabba, Laman Diomash Reb Zera B'Mokom Shasheres Mitzuyos, we don't give back the get. The Afal Gav Delo Huchsaku Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon Upliga De Rabba Maikom Miflugli. What caused this machlokas? Again, the Gemara is not asking for the root explanation of this machlokas, but rather what brought about this machlokas. Why does Reb Zera assume that once you have one condition fulfilled, it's Shayoros Mitzuyos, that ipso facto is enough to passel the get, whereas Rabba adds another condition, it's got to be Huchsaku, Shnei Yosef, and Shimon. And the Gemara clarifies this. Rabba Sovar Dikotani, that which it says in the Mishnah called Maisa Bezdin, Hareze Yachzir, Dishtakach Bebeidinas Kinan. That if you find a shtar in Bezdin, that's called Maisa Bezdin, you can return that shtar to its rightful owner because it was found in the Bezdin. So Rabbi asks the following question, wait a minute, how do you define Bezdin? Bezdin kemakom shasheyos mitzuyos. There are people coming in from all walks of life into a Bezdin, and nevertheless the Mishnah establishes that you can return the shtar, we're not choshesh that maybe this shtar fell from somebody else with the same name. And therefore, we're forced to assume that the Mishnah in Gittin, where the Mishnah is worried about the fact that if someone finds the get a little bit later on, the Shliach finds the get, and some time has passed, we assume that there's a possibility that this is not the get that belonged to so-and-so, it was lost by somebody else with the same names. That's got to be a case of Vahu Shehuchsaku, a case where we know that in this city there are other people with the same names. And therefore Lo Yachzir, implying that Lo Huchsaku Yachzir. And therefore Rabba came to the conclusion that it's not enough to possibly get simply because of Shayos Mitzuyos. In the case of Bezdin, that Shayos Mitzuyos, and yet we return the get, but rather you need a second condition in order to possibly get, and that is Huchsaku. We know for a fact there are others with the same names. Rab Zera Amar L'chor, Rab Zera says, don't prove anything from that Mishnah Maisa Bezdin. Mi Katani Kol Maisa Bezdin Shenitnsu Bezdin. It doesn't say any Maisa Bezdin where you find the shtar in the Bezdin. That's not what it says. What it says is Kol Maisa Bezdin Yachzir. Katani, that's what it's written. Leolam, we could always say that what's the case? The Ishtakach Ivroi. He finds the get outside of Bezdin, and we're talking about a place of Ein Shayaros Mitzuyos. Very interesting how you can isolate a location, and then a few feet away, the situation, the halachic category and description changes. In the Bezdin itself, that's called Shayaros Mitzuyos, but once you walk out of the Bezdin, and it's Ein Shayaros Mitzuyos, and yet the Mishnah is implying that you don't give back the get. You only give back the get because it was found in Bezdin. Outside of Bezdin, you don't give back the get. Why is that so? It's Ein Shayaros Mitzuyos. And the answer must be because it's a case of Huchsaku Shnei Shemos. So again, the bottom line is, according to Reb Zera, if you find a get B'Makom Shasheyaros Mitzuyos, then you don't return the get. The Mishnah is talking about a case where you found the get outside of Bezdin. Had you found it in Bezdin, you would not return the get, even though lo huksaku. In the case where he found it outside of Bezdin, that's called Ein Shayaris Mitzuyos, and there, the only time that you would be hesitant to return the get is because huksaku. So the Mishnah allows you to return the get when you find it in Bezdin, meaning outside of Bezdin, in a case of Ein Shayaris Mitzuyos, and that you could return because it's lo huksaku. Rabbi Yirmiyah wants to offer another teretz in order to reconcile the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Gittin, or between the Mishnah and the Braisa, that if the Baal is Moda, that this get is valid, then we can give the get now. That was the diuk that we learned out, we derived from our Mishnah, and certainly from the Braisa. Kigon de ka'amri edim me'olam lo chasamnu el al get echad shel Yosef ben Shimon. Maybe we can clarify that this is the right get, and these are the right owners of the get, because of the edim. You know, we've been focused on the names of the Baal, the names of the Isha, the name of the city, etc., etc., but why not focus on the edim? The edim are signed on this get. You're telling me that there's another get that was lost. Well, it has a different set of edim. If it has the same edim, then the edim are testifying we only signed on one get. We never signed on another get. A brilliant chap of Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Gemara, though, has one objection to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Ihachi, if this be the case, you're talking about a case where the edim testify they only signed on one get, Maila Memra. I mean, there's no possibility of another get. What was the Havamina? What was the Chiddush? Why did the Mishnah have to teach me this? Poshet that you have no chash on this get. Ma'o detem, I think, Lechush, Dilma, Isrami, Shma, Kishma, the edim Kedim. Wow. Maybe somewhere in the veld, there's another pair of edim that have the exact same names. Now, Rabosai, look at the statistical, you know, probabilities here. I'm not an actuary, but you're going to have to assume that somewhere else there's a Baal with the same name as our Baal. There's an Isha with the same identical name as our Isha. There are edim which have the same identical names as the edim. You know, there's so many variables here, and I don't know the math here. You know, the statistical probability it would be almost infinite to assume that maybe. And then again, you know, if you add the element of the makom, the city that's written in the get, and we assume kan nimsa kan hoya, all these chashoshes have to be within the radius of a city. So show me a city in the world that has two people who have the same names and their wives have the same names, and there are two edim that have the same names. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah wants to tell us that you're not choshish for that. But the Ma'od Detema is really a pella. How far are we going to go with this? Let's see if we have a few minutes just to fit in Rav Ashi's answer. That which it says in our Mishnah, that if the Baal admits and he agrees that we can give this get, that's going to be a case where the Shliach has a simon on the get. That this get is the identical get that he had in his hand. Kigodika Omar, Nekev Yeshbo Bitsados Ploni. There's a hole in the get next to such and such a letter. And that itself is going to remove any chashash that somebody else lost this get. And this reminds us, of course, of the second parak in Bava Metzia, meaning the parak called Elu Metzios. And Yumachzir Aveda B'Simon. The Gemara clarifies Rav Ashi and says, V'dafka, that only applies when the Shliach gives a Simon that there's a whole B'tzad Os Plonis. That makes it into an upgraded Simon called the Simon Mufak. Aval, but if he's only to say Neck of the Alma, somewhere in the get I know that there's a hole in it, that's not called a simon of the highest standards of a simon muvok, and therefore we will not return the get. And the reason for this is Rav Ashi misafkale b'simonimi doraisa idrabonon. Rav Ashi himself vacillated back and forth when the Chachamim say that we return a lost object to its owner based on simanim, is that a doraisa halacha? Meaning we're talking about a siman she'eno muvhak, a regular classical siman. If it's doraisa, if we derive it somewhere from the Torah, then that siman, if it's recognized and validated by the Torah, would be valid, would be accepted, even in Isurim, in other words, even with regard to return a get, based on a siman she'eno muvhak, which the shliach offers. If on the other hand, if the entire recognition and validity of a siman she'eno muvhak is only a takanas chachamim, in order to facilitate hashavas aveda, even in a siman she'eno muvhak, then the Rabbanon admittedly have the power to do that with regard to Dini Mominus, that's the power of the authority of Hefker Vezin Hefker. But with regard to a get, to return a get based on a siman she'eno muvhak, and to be matir an eishes ish, that's already beyond the purview, beyond the authority of the Chachamim, and therefore we would not return a get with anything less than a siman muvhak. And therefore, based on this suffolk, Rav Ashi would insist that the shliach would have to identify the get by telling us not only there's a nekev on the get, but it's betzad os plonis, and that upgrades it to the status of a siman muvhak, which certainly, beyond a doubt, the Torah recognizes both in Dini Mominus as far as Hashavas Aveda, and in Gittin, Isurim, as far as being matir and eishes ish with this get. Ramban points out that these last two answers, namely the answers of Rabbi Yirmi and Rav Ashi, are necessary, are offered by them, respectively, because they are like the Ika D'Amri in Rav Zera, that Rav Zera argues with Rava, and he maintains that with Koshesh for another Yosef ben Shimon, in a case of Shayaris Mitzuyos, even if it's low Huchsaku, or in a case of Huchsaku, even if it's Ein Shayaris Mitzuyos, if not, if Rabbi Yirmi and Rav Ashi both agree to Rabbah that we need two conditions in order to be choshesh for chilufei get, it's got to be shayoros mitzuris and huchzaku, then why would they have to be, you know, why would they be pushed or compelled to interpret our Mishnah in such a way? Why not just say that our Mishnah is shayoros mitzuris vol huchzaku, or huchzaku v'ein shayoros mitzuyos? And the Chiddush is that even in such a case, in such a scenario, and a situation, we would return the get and we're not choshesh. That's the way the Ramban understands this sugya. The Pnei Yoshua asks the following question. Even if I assume that simonim adarabonon, which means that on a deraisa level, a simon she'eno muvhak, a simon rogil, is not valid, nevertheless, in something that's only a chashash d'rabbanon, why not rely on simonim? Meaning this whole chashash of Shnei Yosef ben Shimon is all a rabbinic chashash. And we're going to see this later on in Tosfos on Daf Chaf Amid Beis. So if the rabbanon are willing to rely in Hashavas Aved and validate a simon she'eno muvhak, and it's the rabbanon who engendered this chashash of Yosef ben Shimon, there's another Yosef ben Shimon here in the city, then why not say Hey Mamru Ve Hey Mamru? You know, the same Rabbanan who were choshish for Yosef ben Shimon would rely on a siman she'eno muvhak. And the Pnei Yoshua says something very fundamental. He says we have something that's called Ikaro Min HaTorah, meaning although the chashash of Shnei Yosef ben Shimon is in fact, in reality, a derabbanan chashash, but nevertheless, it's a dover she'ikro min haTorah. You know, we're worried about being matir eishes ish with this get. And in such a case, even the rabbanan themselves are going to be more machmir. They're not going to rely on simonim that are only derabbanan, even though the chashash itself of Shnei Yosef ben Shimon is derabbanan. And the Pnei Yeshua adds something which I don't know if he had to add, but he says that we have to be worried that maybe we'll come to be somech on the simonim she'eno muvhakim even when there's a real chashash d'oraisa. For example, let's say we know for sure that this get was lost, and there are two gittin, let's say that we find two gittin that have the same shemos, and we're not sure, you know, which one belongs to which megarish, which get
that for sure would be a chashash doraisa of Shnei Yosef and Shimon. And there, we don't want him, chas v'shalom, to rely on a siman shein mufkuk, which is only to Rabbanan. Our sugiyim bab metziyut chesam v'beis seems to land with the conclusion that we're left with a suffek of bnei bayit de lo ifshita. Rav Ashi vacillated back and forth, came to no definite conclusion about the status of simanim regilim, whether they're min haTorah, whether they're only midrabbanan. And this too is reflected in Elu Metzias later on in the sugyan daf chav zayin amid beis. The Gemara there too has any bayit de lo ifshita. However, if you take a look in Chulin, and this is off on Daf Ayin Tes Amid Aleph, and that's, if I'm not mistaken, the sugya of min behema, meaning there are certain minim in a behema. If you identify the min, there's no kshash of kelayim. And what happens if you have simonim on min? Can you assume that this animal comes from that min based on simonim, and therefore it's not kelayim? And there in that sugya, it seems that's a doraisa halacha. You know, you want to establish that this min is okay, meaning it's kosher, you're allowed to eat it, it's not kelayim, based on the fact that you found a simon that identifies it as belonging to a certain min, which we know is not kelayim. So the Ketzos says, based on the Ran and Chulin in the name of the Ramban, that the chashash of simoni aveda is based on the fact of Shema, perhaps, Masha Omar es ha-simonim ene muchach shubal aveda. Maybe this person is a cheat. He's a Rama. He saw the object once, and he knows its identity. He knows how to identify it with a simon. And he went out and he guessed that maybe that object was the one that somebody found. And that's why simonim don't work, because simonim have built-in chashash to them. But the siman itself is meaningful, and you can rely on it min haTorah. As far as kelayim is concerned, there's no chashash of sheker. We just, it's an objective question. Does this animal belong to this min? Does it doesn't belong to the min? And there we're looking at the siman itself, and that's something that the Torah certainly recognizes. When there's a chashash sheker, and the siman has to remove us and be mafkia the chashash sheker, that's when the Gemara vacillates back and forth whether we could align a siman shein muvok to be mafkia a chashash sheker. The Ketzos goes one step further. He says in the case of a shliach who lost his get, there is a chashash sheker. Perhaps he doesn't want the baal to have complaints and gripes against him, complaints, taromis alav. Well, perhaps he's going to be paid if he delivers the get. He's a paid shliach. And therefore, when he comes with his siman shein muvok to identify that this is the get he lost, and we want to make sure that he's not lying, it's like the case of Aveda, where the person may have seen the thing and then identified. Once again, there's a chashash sheker. And here, we need to jack up the requirement of Simon to that of a Simon Muvhak. Or, that's what Rav Ashi's vacillating about, and the sugya remains both here and in Eilu Metzias as in Ibai Delo Ifshita. That's what the Ketzos says to be Miyashev, Stiros and Sugyas, between Chulin and here, but truth be told, in the Ramba, there are Stiros galore as to whether we paskin Simonim Doraisa or Simonim Dorabonon. And you know, you can compare the Rambam in Gerushin, in Perigimel. He assumes that Simonim Sheinim Mufakim is not enough to return a get, but yet in Hilchas Aveda Perigid Gimel, the Rambam seems to give you a different impression. And there's a long case of Mishnah about this in Perigid Gimel, in Hilchas Gzela Va'aveda. We'll stop here.